Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the earnings conference call of Dalmia Bharat Limited for the quarter ended 30th June 2022. Please note that this conference call will be for 60 minutes and for the duration of this conference call, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. This conference call has been recorded and the transcript of the same may be put up on the website of the company. After the management discussion, there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Before I hand the conference over to the management, I would like to remind you that certain statements made during the course of this call may not be based on historical information or facts and may be forward-looking statements. The forward-looking statements are based on expectations and projection and may involve a number of risks and uncertainties and other factors that could cause actual results, opportunities, and growth potential to differ materially from those suggested by such statements. On the call we have with us Mr. Puneet Dalmia, MD and CEO, Dalmia Bharat Limited; Mr. Mahendra Singhi, Managing Director and CEO, Dalmia Cement Bharat Limited; Mr. Dharmendra Tuteja, CFO, Dalmia Bharat Limited; Mr. Rajiv Bansal, President and Chief Transformation Officer; and the other management of the company. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Aditi Mittal, Head Investor Relations. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Stephen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Q1 FY23 earnings call of Dalmia Bharat Limited. Hope you all had a chance to go through the results and the earnings presentation, which we filed with the exchanges. If not, the same can be downloaded from our website from under the investor section. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Dalmia for his opening remarks.
Good morning, everyone. It gives me great pleasure to welcome all of you to the Q1 FY23 earnings call of Dalmia Bharat Limited. Today, as we interact at the first call of financial year 23, I'm happy to share that during the quarter, we have delivered industry-leading sales volume growth of almost 27% on a YOY basis. From the same time last year, we increased our capacity by 17%. And due to the focused efforts of our team, we have managed to increase the capacity utilization from 64% in Q1 of FY22 to 69% in Q1 of FY23. Another area which is of prime focus for us is the sustenance of cost leadership. And I'm happy to share that on the total cost per ton of cement, we have achieved one of the lowest total cost at 4,360 rupees per ton. What dampened the operating performance is the continuous upward spiral in the commodity prices and the inability of the price increase in our markets to absorb the cost inflation. The average fuel cost increased from $180 per ton in Q4 to $218 per ton in Q1 of this year, which is a 20% increase. Against this, the sales price in our region lagged behind materially with a sequential delta of mere 3%. In fact, the exit prices came in below the average prices for the quarter, and this is a trend we witnessed across each of our markets. We have seen that in regions such as North and Central, the price increase has been quite promising, and we believe that in other regions such as West, East and South, the trend should eventually follow. While operationally, we continue the great work by our team. On the CAPEX side, the ongoing committed expansion plan up to 49 million tons is intact and remains on track for completion by March 24. During the quarter, we have commercialized 2 million tons of clinker, 1.1 million tons of cement, and 41.4 megawatts of renewable energy capacity. I will ask Mr. Singhi to take you through these details and all the other operational numbers. Thank you so much. And I will be happy to answer any questions that you may have later during the call. Over to Mr. Dalmia.
Happy morning, friends. Thank you, Puneet ji. Friends, our team is making all best efforts to counter
various adverse situations in the economy, we have been able to make promising start on the sales front, as growth rate has been 27%, leading to a quarterly volume of 6.2 million tons. The revenue for the quarter has increased by 27% YOY to 3,302 crores. The realization during the quarter improved in the eastern and northeastern market, but south was slightly weak on average. There was, however, a slight sluggishness in the prices as we exited the quarter in end June. From the exit prices, prices have been stable in July, but continue to be on a weaker side due to seasonal factors kicking in. As a company, retaining cost leadership is one of our prime objectives, and I'm glad to share that on YOY basis, while cost increased adversely for the entire industry, the adverse delta at 37% was probably the lowest for us, and hence our variable cost per ton came in at 2,224 rupees per ton. Friends, I'm also happy to share that during the quarter, we have been able to install first floating solar power plant of 3.8 megawatt capacity in Bihar. On the variable cost front, we continue to experience the adverse impact of high effort coke and coal prices. During the quarter, our fuel consumption cost increased by almost 20% from 180 rupees per ton in Q4 FY22 to $218 per ton in Q1 23. Though we are now finally starting to see a decline in prices of pet coke and coal, given the average price cost in Q1 stood around $220. The consumption cost in Q2 is likely to remain higher in the range of around $220 before eventually tapering down. We have seen now the pet coke prices hovering around 180 to 190, and the benefit of this we may see in quarter three. Our freight cost continues to be lowest in the industry at 2,096 per ton, though there is an increase of 4% YOY owing to both diesel price inflation and increase in lead distance. The lead distance for the company during the quarter was 311 kilometers. Friends, as Puneet has said, again, I am delighted to share that we have emerged as probably the lowest cost producer with total cost of 4,360. In our journey for enhancing our blended cement, this quarter we have been able to increase it to 82%. Our various other efforts and initiatives for becoming carbon negative by 2040, we have been able to bring down our carbon emissions to 468 kg per ton of cement, which is probably one of the lowest in world cement sector. With regard to capacity expansion, during the quarter, we have commercialized almost 2 million ton of clinker and 1.1 million ton of cement. The region-wise details of clinker expansion and the plant-wise details of cement expansion can be taken from our investors' presentation, which is uploaded on our website. Friends, we remain on track to complete this leg of expansion by March 24 and reach 49 million tons. As Puneetji mentioned, we are side by side working internally to get our groundwork ready for future phase of organic capacity addition. Now, this year, we are celebrating our 75 years of independence across the country and approaching our 76th Independence Day. I take this opportunity to wish you a very happy Independence Day and also wish you to celebrate 75th year of independence in a big way. Now with this, I would like to hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Dhamendra Tuteja, who will run you through the key financial results. Thank you.
Thank you, Sangeeji. Good morning, everyone. Since the major updates have already been covered by Puneetji and Sangeeji, I'll now quickly get into the key financial updates. Regarding incentives, this quarter we have accrued income of rupees 58 crores and the collection during the quarter has been rupees 44 crores. The incentive receivable as on 30th June stood at rupees 633 crores. For the full year, including Murli, we expect incentive accruals to be around rupees 240 crores for FY23 and FY24 each. On the debt side, we have reduced the gross debt by rupees 131 crores and the closing debt as on 30th June stands at rupees 3009 crores. The net debt to EBITDA ratio as on 30th June was negative 0.08 times. For capex, we have spent close to rupees 525 crores during the quarter. Our budgeted capex spend for the full year is in the range of 3000 to 3500 crores and we remain on track to achieve that number. While we continue to take initiatives to keep our costs under control, our fixed costs and other expenses on YOY basis have increased this quarter, primarily due to various plant shutdowns taken in this quarter, new plant commissioned during last year like Murli and Kapilas unit number 2, which were in project phase in the last year first quarter, and also increase in packing expenses due to increased volume and higher granule prices. In continuation of our strategic initiative of turning carbon neutral by 2040 and using 100% renewable energy by 2030, and in furtherance to our addition of 36 megawatt solar power and 5.4 megawatt of WHRS during this quarter, we have at the board meeting held on 3rd August obtained approval to purchase existing wind turbine generators in Tamil Nadu having capacity of 16.5 megawatt from Dalmia Bharat Sugar Industries Limited. In terms of generation of power, these machines are equivalent to 7 megawatt of new capacity. The transaction is on arm's length basis as determined by an independent registered valuer. The transaction cost is rupees 7.66 crores for wind turbines and the associated spares and rupees 25 lakhs per year towards leave and license fee for using 709 acres of land. This has escalation clause of 10% once in 3 years. And this transition is subject to necessary approvals being obtained from TANGEDCO and state government authorities. With this, I now open the floor for question and answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rajesh Kumar Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, congratulations on good set of numbers in a tough environment. I have a few questions. First, on the CO2 emissions, which we have seen, you know, strong good fall versus FY22. Could you explain what is helping you? You are already on the low side, and even in the short term, you have been able to, you know, drive these efficiencies.
Yes, please. Happy morning. I would say the efforts which we are making for enhancing the blending cement or low carbon cement issue is one of the major factors. Secondly, the way we have been able to enhance percentage of renewable power and green fuel, that is also helping in a big way. And thirdly, the efficiencies which we have been able to put in terms of reducing heat consumption and power consumption.
So you can connect me to the mill.
I may also highlight that our power consumption of 64 units per ton of cement is one of the lowest in Indian cement industry and maybe globally also. So these all efforts as well, better efficiency is resulting in lowering our CO2 emissions.
And what is the cement to clinker ratio, sir, for Q1? And could, if you could also, the cement to clinker ratio?
For the quarter, it is 1.67.
And sir, how much was green power?
but month by month it's enhancing.
Okay. And sir, green power usage in Q1 and AFR usage in Q1?
So these figures you can take offline.
Sure. And could you share on the Murli operations, what is the status, you know, how has that ramped up for you?
Sorry?
And what is the total capex to be spent for ongoing projects in FY23-24 to complete all the projects?
So in this year, what we have said is that we'll be spending 3,500 crores. And during the next year, Mr. Dhamendra, how much is balance?
Sorry, sir. Can you just repeat the question, please?
What is the total capex to be spent in FY23 and 24, including maintenance?
For Murli?
No, total.
Total.
The total budgeted for this year is 3,000 to 3,500. A similar number is for next year. What we spent in capex in Q1 FY23 525 crores.
And status on the Murli operations, has it stabilized fully, and what sort of margins you are making over there currently?
This is the second quarter of operation. Typically, I think plant takes about 9 to 12 months to stabilize completely. And we have started the year that during the year, about 60% utilization is what we started to achieve as we close the year. So I think we are on track for that.
Great. Yeah. Great. I'll come back in queue. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pinakin Parekh from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
My first question is on the cost based on $218, slide 13, $218 a ton in Q1 FY23, and you mentioned that the cost will be the second quarter. But based on today's spot prices, what should be this cost in the third quarter, the December quarter, by which you will be benefiting from the lower prices?
In my view, this cost can be anywhere between say. $170 to $185.
Understood. My second question is on the capacity addition roadmap. We had come out and announced a roadmap of 2030 capacity at 110 to 120 million tons. In the interim, we have seen two large business houses, hasten the capacity addition plans that they have had. What is Dalmia's view on roadmap? 49 million tons to 110 million tons, because we have not seen follow-up announcements come through so far.
So I think right now we are just evaluating which regions to invest in, and our announcement plans are a little bit more delayed than what we had promised earlier. But we will come back as and when projects get more closer to finalization, and we will announce it.
So just to clarify, that 110 million ton plan still remains on table, or
yes,
would you take a relook at it given the industry dynamics?
No, in fact, we think that entry of Adani is a positive in the sector. It will lead to more consolidation. And our belief is that the sector attractiveness has gone up. So our plans remains intact. Of course, the volatility in the world will be some turbulence along the way, but we believe that India is poised very well amongst the major economies. Even despite inflation, our current GDP growth is forecasted to be around 7-7.5% here. I think as a our leadership in the central government has managed most volatility relatively much better than other economies, the pandemic, the war, the inflation. So I think overall, we have a big faith in India's future, and we will continue to invest. And we believe the sector attractiveness has gone up and more consolidation will happen.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and thanks for the opportunity. The first question is on the renewable power. We are adding really chunky capacities this year in 1Q and in the coming quarters as well. Is it possible to explain us some bit of, I mean, how do we see cost savings from these and utilization levels in FY 2024 from these plants?
Yes. So, if we just look at operational cost without interest and depreciation, it is then just 0.25-0.30 per unit in comparison to now presently what the cost is of, say, 8-9 rupees of captive power plant or maybe 7-8 rupees of grid. So this is one part. And we are able to utilize fully the renewable power or the solar power and in future wind power also, because at the moment, whatever power would be generated during the daytime from solar, that would all fully be consumed.
Understood. And, I mean, what sort of utilization level should we factor in 15%-20% for solar and north of 80% for waste heat recovery?
Yes, so in totality, we'll have about 172 MW of power, both from solar and WHRS by end of the year, and accordingly, it may be around, say, 16% of that total consumption.
Okay. Okay, got it. Got it.
And
just one-
Maybe these figures will be reconfirmed also.
Okay, okay. I'll reconfirm that later. Just a clarification on the fuel cost, power fuel cost you said, 220 was 1Q. I mean, how do we see this 170-180 is for 3Q, or that is a 2Q level that we are expecting?
Q3.
Okay. And is it possible to share some directional sense on 2Q? I mean, will it keep inflating in 2Q and then see a drop?
So in Q2, it may be ranging around, say, around $200 or $195-$200.
Okay. Understood. Understood. My second question is on the future growth. I mean, of course, we are in the evaluation stage, as we expressed, but from, say, 50-110, I mean, like we have seen in the past, overall, our contribution from inorganic growth has been quite substantial. In the future, are we seeing any inorganic opportunities, or the future growth is largely led by organic growth only?
Sumangal, Rajeev here. I think when we are looking at our growth from 49 million tons to 110 to 130 by FY31, I think it will be a mix of both organic and inorganic. I think as Puneet was saying in his reply earlier, we see the entry of Adani will probably lead to more consolidation in the industry, and I think there will be a lot of opportunity for even looking at good inorganic assets. So I think we are open to both. I think we'll have to keep looking at all the opportunities in front of us, whether organic and inorganic. But the objective is very clear: we want to be a pan-India player and achieve reach of 100-130 million tons by FY31.
Understood. But, I mean, just to extend a small argument, I mean, in the last 5-7 years, there were a lot of assets which were very obviously on the block, given the balance sheet stress, NCLT, et cetera. I mean, currently, the industry has seen one level of consolidation. Going into future, do we see availability of inorganic opportunities, or it will be substantially lower now from current point onwards?
No, again, very difficult to predict something like this, but I believe that, you know, with the input costs going the way they are going up, and EBITDA margins falling, and everybody announcing large capacity announcement, or large players announcing large capacity announcement, there has been, you know, as I've been saying over the last 4-5 years, almost 90-95% increment demand from top five players. So smaller players are definitely seeing pressure, and losing market share. I think, we'll have to see how it plays out, but my hypothesis is that you'll see, a lot of opportunities come up, good assets which will come on the block, in my view, and we'll have to be just open to those, as and when they happen.
Got it. Thank you so much, Rajeev, and all the best to the team.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raashi Chopra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just, continuing firstly from the previous question on the, you know, the inorganic growth. One is that, you know, a lot of other players are also looking at, you know, the inorganic route as well. So while there may be, you know, acquisition targets available, would there be enough for like everyone to kind of pursue this path? One. Secondly, is to get to this 130 million tons, even keeping in mind the mix, at what stage would you need to use your, you know, auction limestone? That's the first question on capacity.
So, Puneet here. Look, I mean, M&A is always a competitive process. And I think, you know, there will always be some uncertainty. But I think, you know, we have been quite decisive in the past. And, you know, we have demonstrated our ability to close deals and turn them around. So I think depending upon the process, depending upon the target, I think, you know, we will have to review this case by case, and you will win some, you will lose some. So, you know, I don't think the competitiveness of an M&A process will go away in a hurry. I think the only point is that, you know, since Holcim has exited India, I expect more competition from domestic players rather than overseas players in the short run. Secondly, I think in terms of auction limestone blocks, I think our approach is to, you know, just keep developing projects, so whether they are brownfield or greenfield. Some of our land acquisition is in process. And, you know, over time, as in when we are ready to announce, you know, our projects consistent with our pan-India footprint ambition, we will let you know.
Okay, thank you. Just another question. Is there any update, you know, on the employee welfare trust that you had created? You know, anything, I am not sure if you've seen any details in the annual report, but where we can get some details on, you know, about the trust, what the corpus is, what the use is.
Ramanda, can you take that question?
Yeah. The last trust that was wound up, so that is no more, and that was never consulted in the company. So that is why it never appeared in the books of Dalmia, either in the past or even now.
Okay, so it's wound up effectively, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Murarka from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question was around the region-wise plant utilization of volume growth. So could you just throw some light on that, given that you saw good growth this quarter?
We will not be able to share fully more, but we could say that we had comparatively good growth in the south in comparison to east, but in both the regions as well as in northeast, we have grown, and that has given us a 27% growth during the quarter. And we do expect also growth continuing.
Sure. So my second question is on this mining land acquisition that you are doing. So could you just throw some more light on it as to what exactly is the plan, by when will it be done, and how much of reserves accretion could happen from this?
You are referring to which place?
The east mining land acquisition that you are doing in east.
Yes. So that process is already on, and we have been able to get all the necessary government approvals for majority of the land, and we have already acquired some portion of land. So that process of acquiring land is in full control, and we hope that in 1.5 years' time, the whole process will be complete, and maybe in 6 months' time, you know, we'll be able to also start extracting limestone out of it. So that way, I would say we have full confidence and we have full reserve for many years to come.
Okay. And what kind of reserves accretion could happen, if you can just give a ballpark sense on that?
You know, once we are able to fully acquire the land and then use a certain exploration, we'll be able to share that. But at the same time, we would say that by acquiring whole thing, we will be able to get more than 20 years reserve.
Okay, for the Raj Gangpur operation, that is?
Yes, we are referring to that only.
Right. And also, just on slag prices, like the cost of clinker production has gone up significantly. Like, so what is the trajectory that we see on slag prices now?
Slag prices are just a matter of one generation also, as well as the requirement of various other cement companies. But we do expect that there may be 10% plus or minus in, or maybe 10% increase in slag prices. That's all. But otherwise, what we have understood and what we have seen from our own tie-ups, that we'll be able to get slag as well as we'll be able to get that right price also.
Okay, but could you just give an indicative like number? Is it like 1500 per ton right now or 1700, 1800 per ton? Like, what is the ballpark range of the cost?
It will be difficult to, you know, project those numbers, though internally we have, but it will be difficult to project on this call what would be the number.
Okay, sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Kumar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. My first question is on industry pricing. Puneetji mentioned in the beginning, opening remarks, that East pricing was lower versus other regions, and because other regions had better, better sense in terms of passing pricing, and East should follow. Clearly, while this sense was prevailed in early part of first quarter, but all of that sense has sort of reversed, and now prices are down across regions to probably pre-March levels. So that case of East pricing going up because other regions pricing are better. So that probably doesn't stand so clearly. So any view there on other regions pricing following a decline as well?
I would say that in South, prices are at the moment stable. And in East, there is a bit sluggishness, but maybe after 2 months when demand goes up, then there may be possibility of better prices.
Okay. And we say that Adani's entry is positive for the sector. We are particularly very high on on-site segment, some of the other large peers. So how do we see on-site segment generally playing out with Adani's NP and ramp up in this business?
I don't think impact of Adani group having wholesale will have any impact on non-trade segment as such, because non-trade segment is all based on competition, and on that part competition will continue there, and then if we are able to compete the way we have been doing it, we would be losing on that part.
Okay. What will be the trade mix for the quarter?
Trade mix for the quarter is around 68%.
63% trade.
So it may be 68%.
68%. And just the number which was given earlier on incentive accruals during this quarter was 58 crores, is that right?
That's right. Yes.
Sure, sir. Thank you. These are my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Jain from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. So my first question was, on this inorganic growth, that you're talking about, sir, historically, whatever deals and all we have done in this sector are predominantly driven by, balance sheet concerns of the larger groups rather than weaker industry profitability. So do you see a phase where industry profitability could be under pressure for an elongated time? Because if that doesn't happen, then I don't know why should we see a massive inorganic growth opportunity for any player in the sector, because at 1,100 rupee EBITDA per ton, the profitability is fairly attractive for the sector. So do you see that concern emerging at all, that, you know, competitive intensity could increase and there's a prolonged pain on profitability for the sector?
Look, mostly the balance sheets of large companies are fairly strong right now. I think, you know, some companies in certain pockets may have some balance sheet strength. And in the short term, you know, I still believe that there are headwinds in the sector and, you know, there is margin compression. Mm-hmm. This quarter is a monsoon quarter, you know, so, you know, it will be hard to pass on price increases with it commensurate to the cost spikes. But I think M&A, in my view, will not get so much, barring a few situations, it may get driven, may not get driven by stress as much as it may get driven by, you know, focus on other businesses or focus on, you know, other markets. So my view is that, you know, in the short term, there is, few assets which may be, you know, experiencing stress, but a larger part of the M&A opportunity may be driven by a focus on other businesses or focus on other markets.
Right. So if I can just extend that point, you know, I would still have thought that if I look at the cement industry today, for most of the groups, cement is actually one of the leading businesses. Right, and in that context, again...
Well, I can't discuss individual assets on this call. I mean, I hope you'll appreciate that. And I think as it, the opportunities evolve, all of us will come to know. So I think hard for me to discuss individual assets on this
call. Got it. So secondly, on waste heat recovery, can you give some roadmap, you know, where our waste heat recovery could be, you know, in let's say 3 years, 4 years down the line, because even and on the 23 target at 16-17%, we seem to be on the lower end versus where our peers aspire to be. Can you give, like, say, let's say 25-26 roadmap in terms of how much waste heat is scalable based on our existing capacity?
I would say that all our kilns will have the waste heat recovery system by end of FY24, except one kiln in south because of heat requirement for raw material there. But otherwise, all our plants would be equipped with waste heat recovery system.
Sir, can you just kind of quantify that in terms of like versus the 72 in 23, where could that number be in 24 or 25, whatever is a reasonable time frame?
Yes, that can be shared by Aditi offline. Maybe. Yes.
Okay. Sure. I'll touch this with Aditi. Not a problem. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. I have some follow-up questions to Mr. Kreja on this employee welfare trust area. So just want to understand, you said it has been wound down. When was this done? If you could just share the timeline to start with.
That was done about more than a year ago.
Okay. And is it possible to share? I mean, what was the share in their possession earlier? And why is it not visible in our treasury shares now?
This trust was never part of the consolidation. So that will never come in the books.
Okay, so, there were some shares in their possession. So what is the position? I mean, where are those shares lying right now?
They must have sold this, so that actually the new buyer, which most likely will be a new trust, they would have got it.
Okay. And is there any outstanding loan advances or any other transaction from the parent entity with them now?
No, there is no loan. All the loans are repaid long time back.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Satyadeep Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. First question on the expansion opportunities. I'm not sure if I missed it. Earlier the company had decided to go slow on the Satna expansion and other opportunities in light of the Holcim divestiture. Now that there is more clarity on that front, is the company ramping up the land acquisition on these projects? And when can we expect a formal announcement on go ahead on these projects? And then tied to that would be, I think if I heard it correctly, did you say that you're looking at opportunities for growth in other businesses in other regions? If that is correct, what other businesses would you be interested in? And if you have to look at different regions for growth and organic growth, are there any regions which would stack up above other regions? That's the first question.
Can you please repeat the question? The voice was not coming very clearly.
Yes. On the first expansion, I think you decided to go slow on Satna in light of the Holcim divestiture situation. Now that we have more clarity on that front, is the management going to ramp up land acquisition in both Satna and Nawalgarh? And when can we expect a formal announcement on the go ahead or announcement for timeline for these projects, the next phase of growth? And second tied to that would be, I think if I heard it correctly, in one of the earlier questions you mentioned, you're looking at other regions and other businesses also as possible inorganic opportunity. What could be the other businesses Dalmia might be interested in, if that is correct? And if there are any regions that would be more preferred for inorganic growth over other regions?
No, let me just clarify, Rajiv here. I don't think so. Anyway, in the call, we have said that we're looking at assets in other businesses. So probably given positions verify that we are not talking about assets in other businesses at this stage. Having said that, on a land acquisition, as Sunil was saying in his opening remark, I think we're fully committed to 49 million tons by FY24. And our long-term vision of 110 to 130 million tons by FY31 stays intact. There are a lot of developments happening in the industry as we speak. The world is far more volatile than what it was about a year back. And we believe that industry would be constantly they're coming in. They could study discipline. There could be a little bit of change in the short to medium term. And with all kinds of opportunities, whether organic or inorganic. I would not like to speak specifically about any project, except organic or inorganic opportunity at this stage. But the management is when they're looking at opportunities to expand their footprint across India, and to that extent, whether it's Satna or whether it's Western India or Northern India, all of them are being looked at actively at every stage.
Okay. Second question, sir, will be, I think there is some slight changes in the CAPEX schedule. Are you possibly, compared to the earlier expectations, ramped down the expansion in Murli and ramped up expansion in Tamil Nadu? Is there anything, is it just market demand supply that is driving that decision, or is there anything operationally with the asset or limestone that is driving these changes in the CAPEX?
No, there is no such case or such situation in which it is happening. In fact, we have thought that yes, to some extent we can enhance our capacity in South, and that's why we have added capacity there. And it only, yes, it may take few more months to start that capacity expansion.
Okay. One quick question, if I can squeeze. There was apparently some market share loss in each in the quarter for Dalmia. Was it, if I understand correctly, if that is correct, was it because of the debottlenecking or maintenance in Rajkansur, or was it a conscious decision to not send more volumes in the market?
No, please. There was no such instance where there was a short of ability of material, so it was not the case.
Oh, Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Nandi from Ratnavali Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, good morning, sir. Hello.
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, yeah. Sir, can you just throw some lights on our renewable power consumption as of now in this quarter? Like, what kind of capacity of wasted fuel do we have standing as on date, sir?
Please repeat.
Can you just throw some light on our renewable power consumption? Like, what kind of wasted recovery capacity do we have in at the end of the Q1 23?
Yes. Just.
We have 37 megawatts of recovery. And, yeah.
And the voice is breaking. Will you please repeat once again?
We have about 37 megawatts of base heat recovery.
37. And this we are planning to take it by how much? By 24?
So by the of financial year.
Ms. Mittal, sorry to interrupt. Your voice is breaking up.
By the end of the year, FY23, our renewable energy capacity is projected to increase to about 170 megawatts. The details with complete details are mentioned in the earnings release. Has been uploaded on the website, so you can get the final details there.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much, sir. Wish you all the very best. That's on my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Question is for Puneet ji. Sir, we have given a stiff target of 110 to 130 million tons by 2030-31. It impounds a pretty stiff CAGR. Now, just to rewind 2 quarters back, and in between we have Adani's actually popping, wherein they have also indicated that they would look to add another 70 million tons in the next 5 years. Now, India growth story is fantastic, but when we have to look at it from a market share standpoint versus profitability, how do we look at this variable? So the reason to ask this question to you specifically is the company has a very comfortable balance sheet, and when it comes to execution, nobody is going to question. So I think we become a key player to determine on market share versus profitability, and hence the question to you. Thank you.
Look, I mean, we look at, you know, both market share and profitability in the long term. And, you know, my belief is that, you know, the sector attractiveness has gone up, as I said earlier. India growth story, you know, is something that we believe in. And I think we will do our best to participate in this, you know, through, you know, greenfield and brownfield projects, as well as through M&A. Now, obviously, M&A is, you know, uncertain and, you know, depending on the competitiveness and the strategic value of the asset, we will decide at that point in time what is it worth to us. And, you know, ultimately, it will play out the way it will play out. So I think it's hard for me to, you know, really comment on market profitability in terms of absolute profitability. I think business scale is important. And, you know, we've realized that when we started, like we were 1 million ton, probably one of the most profitable plants in India on a per basis. But, you know, on a, you know, you need absolute profitability and cash flow to grow and participate in the opportunity that India offers. So our scale is very important. You know, there could be blips along the way, few quarters, few years could be depressed. It is a cyclical business. That's the nature of this business. But at the end of the day, unless you build scale, you will not be able to have the internal accruals to participate in the cash flow, and you won't make money when in the boom part of the cycle. So, you know, we have also seen, you know, how well UltraTech is consolidated. They may have paid, you know, good prices for some assets, but, you know, once you're able to turn them around and bring them to your own cost structure, you know, reshape the brand, I think we have all those capabilities on, you know, bringing the companies to Dalmia efficiency and, you know, reshaping the. So I think after a few years of turnaround, these assets become very profitable. So my view is that, you know, you have to build this sector if you want to participate in the opportunity that India offers. And building scale is, you know, is a process which could, you know, have some, you know, turbulence. But it is imperative if you to participate. So I think we look at profitability and market share the long term, and you know, we will continue to behave in the same way while maintaining a strong balance sheet. And I think we've also guided that our net debt EBITDA will remain under 2, you know, in this phase, except if we think of some very strategic, very attractive acquisition in which we may breach it, but we may again come down, you know, to our desired norm. So I think that's how we think about it. I don't know whether I answered your question or not, but I just shared, you know, what came to my mind. Rajiv, do you want to add to it? Singhiji, do you want to add to it?
Nothing
for me. Okay.
Nothing for that.
Sure. Just a follow-up question. Sir, how critical do you think limestone as a resource will be for us in our journey from, say, now to 110, 130? Is it something that we'll have to build up incrementally by our options? Or do we have adequate resources, even if one has to look at it post-release expiries come 2030? Is this going to be a key determinant? Because we have the other variables in place. I think limestone is one missing variable, which if you provide some color, I think it will help a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. You know, look, I can tell you one thing that when we acquired Murli and when we acquired Kalyanpur, these were questions which were asked to us repeatedly. And, you know, we have seen that, you know, once we get into an asset, there are lots of innovations which are possible to improve the, you know, limestone usage because, you know, we have very good R&D in our company. We have very good, very flexible, you know, processes in terms of usage of limestone. So many times the reject ratio has gone down and we have been able to improve the usage of the limestone which other companies were, with the erstwhile companies were rejecting. Similarly, you know, once you get into an area, we've been able to buy land, we've been able to win, you know, auctions, and we've been able to augment our resources. So I personally think that, you know, this is a overrated risk. It is being blown out of proportion. We are very comfortable in all our plants, and we continue to augment, you know, our resources in a way which is consistent with the long-term sustainable growth of the company. And I think we will have adequate resources in all our plants. The challenge in a greenfield project, I think their land acquisition is taking longer than what we think it would. And I think that is an area which to work upon, and that's an area where you know, there's some delay from our side. But, you know, I'm sure with the focused approach of our teams, you know, over time we will be able to develop these projects and, you know, announce the expansion on time. So my view is that, you know, for a large part of our organic plan, limestone is not a risk. Land acquisition is a bigger risk. And I think that is something which, you know, we are focused on. And it might take a little extra. It might be a little bit more expensive than we thought. But in the overall larger scheme of things, I think it is not something which is going to derail the growth plans in any way.
Sure. Thank you so much for the answers. Wish you luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. There are two questions. First, as a follow-up on the what the earlier participant was, you know, asking. So you said that, you know, despite this ambitious expansions of 60 to 80 million tons over the next 7 years, what one should be mindful is that unless it is a major inorganic, net debt to EBITDA will remain comfortably under 2x. Is that understanding right?
Absolutely correct.
Super. And so even that would mean, you know, that initial years the expansion run rate could be more comfortable, and later on only when you have strong OCF would be going forward. And second, on the fuel, you know, you mentioned on a $220 on a per ton basis, you know, given that the fuel mix is dynamic and keeps on changing, would it be prudent if you could share the numbers on a per kilocal basis? How did these numbers fare in Q1 versus Q4, and where that stands in Q2?
I think we have shared the, you know, dollar per ton number of petcoke. It is a good proxy for the rupees per million kilocalorie. The fuel mix varies from, you know, plant to plant, from region to region. So I think it's a good proxy in terms of
what you mentioned is purely for petcoke. It's not a blended mix of coal and petcoke.
I know. But it's a good proxy. But I think Aditi can, I mean, that number Aditi can take.
So that 220 is actually a blended cost of revenue. But on a kcal, it's 2.47.
Sorry, 2.?
2.47 for Q1 FY23.
And Q4, what was the number?
2.07.
And Q2 currently?
That I would not want to say, but I think
we'll say in October. We'll say in October.
No issue. I'm just trying to, in directionally, it will go up in Q2. That is what I am more, you know, keen on. Is that understanding right? Before cooling off in Q3?
Yes. So, considering the inventory we've maintained and the purchase that we are seeing, it is likely to probably by a couple of more dollars.
Okay. Okay, cool. And last question on the, you know, Sindhi sir was talking about captive generation cost of 8 to 10 rupees per unit. So how have these numbers moved, say, over, you know, over Q4 and Q1 or versus last year to current period?
So, you know, wherever we have found that the cost of coal and then cost of generation power is higher than. To that extent, we have brought down our captive power plant generation and have started taking the more power either from IEX or from grid. So that way, it's a dynamic situation in which we have been able to manage our power and fuel cost in the best possible way.
Okay. And last, the blended number would be how much, sir, for this quarter, blended cement production?
It should be around 82%, 80 plus, maybe 1 or 2%.
Okay. 82. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kamlesh Bagmar from Prabhudas Leeladhar. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, one question on the part of capacity addition. I know a lot of questions have been asked on that part. But like say, if you want to break it up, like say by 2026 or 27, how our capacities would be coming up? Because 110, 130 million ton is a target for 2031, and I appreciate the aggressive view of the company. But like say, the way the land acquisitions are going on the ground, and the way we are moving our resources, so. By 2026-2027, how much capacities we see? Because 50 million ton visibility is there, but beyond that, there is no visibility.
We appreciate that. I think we are working on our plans and we will let you know in due course. We are conscious of the fact that we are delayed by a few quarters on this. But you have to keep some patience. We'll come back to you sooner.
Okay. And so secondly, on the part of like... the cost would cool off, but where do you see these margins to get settled in? Would be 1,000-1,100 be a good range for the industry to operate as the new competition comes in? They want to expand their market share and all those things going into market. So where do you see the margins getting settling, or where the Dalmia is more comfortable with the margin range?
You know, in past, the EBITDA margin has been hovering around, say, 23 to 28%, and I think that margin would be the comfortable, at least comfortable margin. So at the moment, if you look at overall Indian cement industry, the margins are now ranging between 15% to 20%. So which is the margin, which is not a comfortable margin for us also as well as any company. So definitely we will be looking at the margin around 25%.
And sir, lastly, like ARC is the only company in the entire cement sector where we have to more focus on your notes to accounts. Like say, rather than seeing the number, the focus is more to look at the notes to accounts. Like, say, can we have like all the adjustments or all the accounting treatments being done at one go like say on the goodwill part, we gave those announcement or the like say statements in our account to note, like say can we curtail it out, because that particular announcement or that particular highlight is not required anymore. So we can't we work on those like say getting that goodwill amortized at one go. I know that in the tax authority's mind that would look relatively like say abnormal, but can't we take one hit at one go and clean up this entire balance sheet?
Amlesh Rajiv here, I think it's a point well taken. I think this year we are actually, we started initiatives to benchmark our accounting policies, practices with the best in the industry, and not only in the industry, but best in the country. And that is something that you will see us working very, very closely on over the next 2-3 quarters. I think by the end of the year, you will see us, cleaning this up once for all. But it's a feedback well taken, and, we'll give an update on it.
Great. And I appreciate your work on the way waste heat recovery and solar, like the great work on that. I appreciate that. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Dalmia for closing comments.
Thank you very much for joining on this call. I wish you and your families a very happy Independence Day in advance. Please fly the tricolor on your houses and we are proud to be an Indian. Jai Hind. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Dalmia Bharat Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.